Live from the Geyer Studio, where combatants battle for the glory of cinema. This is Cinema Wars with your host DJ Ace, only here on WMCO. Welcome to another round of Cinema Wars. Yes, we are back for the 9th round, and we are closing ever closer on the championship for the current season here. So, once again, this is Cinema Wars, the game show where we talk and argue about movies, and I judge on creativity and argument between the three contestants I have with me in the room currently. All right, so we will introduce them shortly, but for this week's topic, we have... pretty crazy question, actually. The question is, what is the worst movie in the Marvel Cinematic Universe? I thought this was a fun question because I feel like everyone feels like the MCU is infallible at this point, but we're going to prove everyone wrong today as we discuss the worst movies from that series of films. All right, so here are your contestants. Starting with Matt.
Hey guys, my voice is leaving me. So.
All right, Matt, what did you pick?
Iron Man 2.
Not a bad one.
Okay. Next is Brad. What did
you pick? I'm Brad. I picked Thor: Dark World.
You're going down, Brad. I'm sorry.
Oh, dude.
You're a fool. You're such
Iron
a
Man
fool.
2 had elite. All right. We gotta wait.
All right. Yeah. And Andy, what did you pick?
I'm going to pick The Incredible Hulk from 2008.
Okay.
All right, get out of here. Yeah, get out of here.
No?
All right. Well, those are the options. And there is a plot twist. Dun, dun, dun.
What did you do? Did not see that coming,
not going to lie.
Yep. This round is worth 2 points.
All right.
Double points.
As opposed to the usual 1 point, it's worse because we need. So you have a shot at the title. So dun dun dun. So
does that mean that the lightning round is also worth 2 points?
No, the bonus round is still worth 1 point.
Or four points.
Okay. Or 4 points.
No.
Really screw everyone.
What if it's like 8 points?
It's still 1 point. Okay, so we're gonna get started here.
And 1 point in dog points.
What is the worst Marvel film?
All right.
Look. So
hold on a second.
Right.
Okay. No.
No.
Iron Man 1 catapulted the entire Marvel
universe.
Fantastic movie, right?
Yes. Very like still in my top 3 Marvel movies.
So here's the thing. Is that Iron Man 2 has these giant shoes to fill, and it doesn't fill them at all.
Not even close.
But
here's what Thor. Here's what Thor 2 does. Actually, it took Thor 1, which is a pile of garbage. And take that back, good sir. Oh no.
Thor 1. I wanted another.
Oh yes,
we got another.
It was entertaining, but it still was not as bad as Iron Man 2. With that said, Thor 2 corrected it and actually gave Loki more of a sinister feel than he ever had in the Avengers. Because, like, in the Avengers, how much destruction was there in New York City?
A ton.
No, there was not. Okay,
look at
Metropolis in Man of Steel. There's so much more destruction. There are maybe three or four villains. There are three or four villains in Man of Steel, and they decided to decimate the entire freaking city.
Small town.
And then meanwhile we have Loki, who's trying to be the sinister dude. Can't even like yell to save his life, and he gets thrown around by the Hulk all the time. But then
it happens one time.
Oh, I know, but it was amazing. But then you go to Thor: The Dark World, and here he is. He's actually like you see at the very end of how cruel he really is. He probably killed Odin, or he threw him somewhere, and he took over Asgard. I think that was like more shocking than anything that MCU has done since then.
We're not talking about the ending of Thor 2. We're talking about the whole movie.
They made the one scene where like Loki and Thor team up, and then like I'm pretty sure Thor's hand gets chopped off like magically like for like a second. I thought it was still really cool. And I thought it was just really different.
Okay.
It was different. And you can't.
You're gonna be okay.
Hold on. I got
he's so excited he's gonna fall off his chair. Yeah.
You can't go wrong with Natalie Portman either. I don't care.
You can. And
no,
they
you cannot.
Did. That was
no.
Terrible movie.
That was not her fault. That was not her fault at all. Don't blame it on her.
Anybody's fault except the writers, because the storyline is at best unfollowable.
How?
It's just bits of. When Thor and Loki team up, and the ending, and the sort of intro little bit. It's just fun little bits barely strung together. It's not a movie.
Oh, it's a movie. It's 2 hours long.
It's a series of shorts.
Anyways, back to Iron Man 2, the more valid worst movie ever made by the MCU besides Captain America. The first
don't
one.
Don't go there, man.
I just went there.
That was... You know what?
The first generation of movies aren't even that good. And you know why?
I agree, but you know what's
the difference between your two movies? It's the fact that they didn't have to replace the actor. Because, you know, when in the first 2008, when they were rebooting the Hulk, they had
Edward, which Hulk are you talking about?
I'm sorry.
Are you talking about Norton Hulk?
Yes, he's talking
Edward
about
Norton. The Edward Norton Hulk. See, you know, he was so bad, or at least he wasn't that good enough, that they had to replace him in the Avengers.
He did not... He dropped the movie. He dropped the Avengers.
Yeah, exactly.
They wanted
Marvel.
To do more.
Marvel begged to get him back. He was their number one choice.
Edward Norton.
He came up with a written statement from his PR agent that said, "I am very sorry that I am not going to reprise my role as Bruce Banner.
Yeah.
But my manager didn't like something that Marvel said, and I'm going with his decision, and I have better things to do with my life."
Yeah, but you know what
because he's Edward Norton, he has the right to make. he's in Fight Club.
He is an amazing actor.
He is an amazing actor, but I don't think that he was in the right spot. I would have not chosen I would have not chosen him to be the right Hulk, because if you look at his movies, most of them are like he's mostly like a sociopath, or he plays like a character that is kind of out there, like So to have him in this movie where he's supposed to play like this calm person or something like that, you know, it doesn't work with him.
But he's not calm that often in this movie. He's trying to be calm, but he can't control it because that's part of his character and how great he is.
And
but
that's what I like about that Hulk movie, actually, is that it shows this sort of dichotomy between this calm outward exterior that sort of men are supposed to have and this raging beast on the inside that they're desperately trying to control, but sometimes they can't. This guy physically cannot control.
And
it's this great metaphor.
And I appreciated his love interest in what's her name, Liv Tyler or Liz Tyler?
Oh yeah,
Liz Tyler. Yeah,
yeah.
She's beautiful.
She was a wooden actress though.
Oi!
Her performance was not that good. Like before I even came here, I rewatched the Hulk just to make sure that I got my point across. And she was not the best actress. She had very cliched lines. Her acting was kind of stale, kind of wooden, to be honest. And they didn't really pair well. At least they didn't, to me at least, they weren't really a good couple, in my opinion. They didn't sell it very well.
Well, they didn't stay together. I mean, he ended up running away, and they didn't live happily ever after. I thought it was a very human story. Like, they didn't show them, like, in a lot of other Marvel movies, it's like they get the girl. Typically, they get the girl in superhero movies.
I guess
this one he didn't. He literally did not, and they still loved each other. They just couldn't be together.
But you know what? I guess that's not the point I'm trying to get into. Not with the relationships or anything. I mean, that is important. But see, let's go back to your Iron Man comment.
Which
let's do it. No, let's
which
do
one
it.
Is the second, by the way? Because I get
with
I,
Whiplash.
Like, kind of...
It was the Whiplash of the entire
when,
franchise.
When RDJ gets to be like as arrogant and awesome and Captain Sparrow like as possible, when he gets to just kind of like reach out his hand and his armor comes on for the first time,
that moment wasn't fantastic
to you?
Do you know why it was not fantastic?
When
do you know why it was
deal
no no no
with all
it
of
wasn't
these
fantastic
little
because
robotic
in the first
Iron
part
coming at them?
No, in the first when, no 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 it really was not that fantastic
that
because
final battle scene?
Because do you know why? Because he was in a race car. That's not Robert Downey. That's not Tony Stark's style. That was totally out of character. He does not.
No,
just,
it wasn't.
Yes, it is. He does. He's not a race car driver. I don't care
no,
what
he's
you
not,
say.
But he's
and
the
and
most
then,
arrogant.
He's not that
Mother Trucker on the face of the planet.
He's a rich playboy. He can do whatever he wants.
Yes. Okay. So let's go back to the main issues with the story. Okay. The main villain was a dude that maybe spoke.
Are we talking about Justin Hammer or Whiplash?
Whiplash.
Okay.
Whiplash. I didn't like Hammer either. I thought it was way too predictable. They had Hammer come in and basically manipulate the heck out of Whiplash, and there he goes. Oh, what's he going to do? They're going to almost fail. Well, Tony Stark's almost going to fail. Then who do they have to save the day? They have War Machine, and then the two of them go up against how many different robots? Like
a ton.
Yeah, but like that's not even that great when all the movie is just centered around these bland action sequences when they're done so much better in other movies that followed this.
The action sequences are bland because the storytelling is actually halfway decent.
No, the action sequences are better when the story is more compelling, when there's more at stake. Take the Logan trailer, for instance.
We all agree it's going to be awesome.
Yes, yeah, I cried. Aaron and I agreed. We cried watching the trailer. But I just think that the action sequences in general are better when there's more at stake. You take Star Wars Episode 3, the final scene, like when they're battling each other, like over lava and, you know, brother against brother, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Very compelling. You go to Iron Man 2, what does Tony Stark have to lose? Not that much. And he still has Black Widow, who's being over sexualized the entire time. Like as her debut, they have Scarlett Johansson. Her character is the most one-sided, static character besides Rhodey, who also got a actor change. And like, yeah, that's another thing. Like, they couldn't keep the original dude from Iron Man 1. I was so excited to see.
For the record, that actor hated working with Robert Downey Jr.
But to be fair, he did a better job than their new guy. I like the new guy.
Don Cheadle's great.
I like the new guy, but I like the old guy more.
Don Cheadle was so much better than Terrence Howard.
No, he was not. No. Don't even. Because he's had more movies to actually prove it.
Okay,
and now,
but here's the thing. Terrence Howard's Rhodey was so one-sided. Just
no, he was
way-
not. He had so much emotion that the scene where he's like, he's giving Tony Stark a lot of crap. And then he's giving Tony Stark a lot of bad rep for not making the award ceremony. Then he's on the ship, or not the ship. He's on the airplane, and then they show him intoxicated.
He comes across as a babysitter.
Then they show like him actually being funny and stuff, and like on the airplane where he's actually a little intoxicated. And he's actually hanging out with
the actor. That's the writing.
No. Because like it the writing only works when the actors make it work too. Like it's a dual-edged sword or whatever. It's a double-edged blade or whatever you want to call it. The writing and the acting have to work together, and I think it did a pretty good job. Even like the one scene where they alluded to Terrence's portrayal as War Machine at the very end. He's looking at the silver armor, and he's like, "Oh, next time." Like that was enough for me, and I was so excited. Then I see the second movie, and it's like just nothing really. That
right,
exciting.
Like I said, the second movie falls down because the first movie was so fantastic.
Not exactly. That is not always a good excuse. Look at X-Men First Class, right? What's the second one in that series?
Oh,
Days of Future Past.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
All right. That's the second. That's a sequel. Spider-Man 1, what followed that? Spider-Man 2 with Tobey Maguire. One of the best superhero movies ever made, arguably. Look at, okay, another sequel, The Dark Knight, another sequel, Empire Strikes Back, just to name a few of the major franchise successful sequels.
I'm not saying sequels always have to fall
short.
I'm saying the Iron Man sequel is in specific.
They do not have to fall short, and that fell way too short. It's like they had nothing going for it besides really playing up, not Scarlet Witch, Black Widow.
Yeah.
And I think that's where there just was not a... She was a great character. I think she's a great character. I just didn't think they really did enough with her.
And you know what? That's the thing about Marvel. It's usually when you look at their sequels, they're done a lot better than their origins. Like if you look at Captain America, that was okay.
The second one was amazing, though.
Exactly. Yeah. Iron Man, you know, was the great movie that, you know, got this ball rolling. So then you have the next movie that's coming up. You're thinking like, oh, Incredible Hulk. Incredible Hulk. There's it's going to be just as good because we've got the people who made Iron Man, they've got this different story going, and they're all going to, you know, make these movies and bring them together to make the Avengers. And really, you know, you never see these movies ever again, really, because they're not as memorable as their sequels. You know, with Thor of the Dark World, a lot of people say it's a lot worse. I haven't seen it personally, but, you know, with Thor or, like, Iron Man being, like, the only two really memorable movies, like, would you, like, when was the last time you guys have even seen the original Captain America or the original Hulk?
I watched
the Hulk a lot. Yeah, I like that one a lot.
I'm a big fan of it.
All right, well, we will continue this heated debate after we take a short break. You're listening to WMCO 90.7. This is Cinema Wars.
Somebody help!
Hey, Brad, what's up?
I need help, Jacob.
Well, actually, I was just about to go get something to eat.
I am in desperate need of aesthetic and expressional stimulation. Art, culture, reverence!
Oh, well, Brad, just tune into my show. It's every Saturday night from 6 to 8. I play WMCO's best new music, read a poem or short story, and then give an analytical breakdown of the literature.
Thank goodness. That's a relief.
Yep. You hungry?
Yeah, I could eat.
Sweet.
Every season, baseball has its big winners and big losers. Here at WMCO, I, Marty Kurtz, will be taking a look at both sides of the plate on my show, Swing and a Miss. 1 hour, I'll talk about a big swing or a good story in baseball, and the other, I'll recap an unfortunate miss, a not-so-great trade, or just a player making a memorable error out on the field. You can listen to my show every Sunday night from 8 to 10. You're listening to WMCO 90.7.
Cinema Wars rages on here on WMCO 90.7 with your host, DJ Ace.
And we're back here with Cinema Wars. I'm DJ Ace with three contestants, and we are in a heated debate over what is the worst Marvel Cinematic Universe film between Matt, Brad, and Andy. We will choose a winner here in the next few minutes and then move on to the bonus round. So I'm Brad. Let's start with you. I want to hear more about The Dark World, please.
All right, so here's the thing about The Dark World is it's got funny moments, and whenever you're analyzing a Marvel movie, you're always going to have those great moments, right? Even Iron Man 2 has that fantastic, like, first encounter of Tony Stark and Whiplash where they're walking towards each other. And Whiplash, at that point, you're thinking, oh, my gosh, this is going to be a great villain. Oh, my gosh.
And then right? It's not.
And then, it falls flat. And so you've got to choose the ones that have the fewest amount of great moments. Thor the Dark World has some decent moments, all right? It's got... when Thor and Loki team up, and it's got, what was the other one we talked about earlier?
The big reveal at the end of the movie?
Oh, yeah, the huge reveal at the end of the movie. That is it, all right? The action sequences fall flat on their faces. The storyline and the acting by a fantastic actress, Natalie Portman, and Chris Hemsworth, and Tom Hiddleston, all terrible. The writing,
no,
when,
not.
Okay,
they
when
bad.
Loki... They did pretty
no,
bad.
They did not.
It was pretty bad.
Oh, no.
Zero
no.
believability.
How? Tell me how. When you have a great visual effect. All
right.
With,
all right.
Like, the
so
big,
Loki, Loki's in the
Doom
cage, right?
In London.
Loki's in the cage, and someone comes up to him to talk to him, and they have this great, what should be a great discourse on kind of, I've kind of been destined to just be a failure my whole life, but it's not believable at all. And you have this great build-up.
How?
Because the...
No, like, I'm just asking, like, how is it...
I mean,
not.
What, like, what do you mean how?
Give me an example of how it's like, not a great, how doesn't he execute it very
well? It just isn't, I don't know, it's just not very convincing, I don't think. It's just not super, it's not very memorable because I don't actually remember what he says specifically.
It was in all the trailers. Like, that's, like, that was, like, a selling point. Like, that scene where he's in
okay.
prison cell.
And then, I mean, but then it wasn't worth it.
Well,
I
mean,
the
box office showed that, like, it was worth it. It brought in a lot of people.
Box office numbers doesn't make a movie good.
Oh no, but when that one scene when that scene engages an audience that big to convince them to come to the
okay,
the
but
theater,
you can't say that scene alone.
No, but like the producers decide this was a scene that will do well with a general population, and it did.
You know what else thinks about
I don't
action scenes?
I disagree.
You know what else thinks about action scenes?
I agree to disagree. With
having
you.
Two CGI characters just fight it out, knowing that it's not real, or having like the same action scene over and over again where it's the military trying to take out this one CGI okay. monster by shooting at
okay,
it.
You want
to
talk about that? Let's talk about, like, I don't know, like 100 CGI characters just going at it. wow, look at all those different characters.
Exactly.
I saw that coming.
It's cliched.
It is so boring. It was so boring to watch Iron Man and War Machine just,
you don't think that they're back and forth? No, it's kind of interesting?
Yes, that was great. But then watching them destroy all these robots so fast, it just makes it so underwhelming. Like, there's no challenge.
But at least it's two characters that you actually see.
No.
I mean, you could say the same thing about, you could say that it's Ed Norton and Tim Roth are fighting each other, but they're not really. It's just two CGI monsters that are just flipping cars and punching each other.
I am waiting for another Hulk movie so much right now. Like,
with Mark Ruffalo, right?
No, with Tim Roth.
With Ed Norton. Ed Norton was the better. He's been the best Hulk.
No.
Yes.
No.
Mark Ruffalo has had more time. He's had more time, and he did not prove it in the Avengers. He proved it maybe in the second one, but he still needs his own movie for him to actually prove himself.
Here's the thing about Bruce Banner that this is why I actually really like the Edward Norton one, is because in the comic books, Bruce Banner has this sort of Edward Norton edge to him.
Yeah.
Right? Mark Ruffalo is essentially a teddy bear who can act.
Yeah. He's
great. And it creates this great, and I'm sorry I keep cutting you off. This great dichotomy between the Hulk and Banner. But the whole point of that whole thing is that they're not that different. Physically, yeah. But there's a point where Bruce Banner can no longer turn into the Hulk. And he becomes probably the scariest protagonist that we've ever seen in the Marvel comics. He walks around and he just does entirely what he wants because his brain, because he's so smart, he's able to focus so much and create all this technology and like cunning plans and like chess master and puppet master everything around him. It's just two different kinds of terrifying. Whereas Mark Ruffalo creates this kind of cliched Jekyll and Hyde. I don't even really believe that Mark Ruffalo's Bruce Banner, which is not terrible, but I don't super believe that he's all that smart because
Can I bring something up really quick? Yeah. If you looked in the Avengers, I felt like they just totally just didn't give any credit to the Incredible Hulk.
No.
There was barely any relation to the first one. And like he doesn't even have like his little watch anymore. He doesn't have anything to like watch his heartbeat or anything or his pulse. He's just there. He just seems like he's all of a sudden just miraculously gotten a hold of himself.
I know.
Yeah. It makes no sense. He doesn't even talk about anything.
He's just there. An agent of chaos. All he does is create more trouble for the team, as opposed to Edward Norton, who actually had this legitimate, I was on a trail.
he had an actual story. He had an actual conflict.
Yes.
And in the Avengers, he was just sitting there like, just doing whatever the story needed him to do.
Well, you know what? I agree with you there. I agree with your point saying that, you know, Mark Ruffalo needs to have his own serious movie because, you know, with the Avengers, Joss Whedon, you know, when he made this film, it was obviously that he was going for a light-toned, different approach to it. He was going for a funny film here. And in his portrayal, you know, Mark Ruffalo, all he was given was the silly parts where he's like smacking Loki around. That was great, you know, but he hasn't really been shown. He has the potential. We don't really know what he can do in a serious movie, and he's done plenty of serious movies. Mark Ruffalo's done plenty of serious movies. So it would be great to see him in another movie, another Hulk movie.
Yeah, I agree.
That would be a good thing to see.
Closing thoughts on my part, I just want to say that just Iron Man 2 was just way too over-sexualized. It just reminded me of Transformers 2. They had nothing to really talk about. And it just got to me, and it was just really bland. And then the writing suffered from two very unmemorable villains. And we've never even cared to bother like talking about them ever again. I never hear Iron Man 2 come up in any discussion. At least Thor 2 has some kind of discussion. And it's still integral to the rest of the plot of the MCU. It's still being talked about in the storyline. Heck, it was even talked about in Doctor Strange. It's still an ongoing story. In Iron Man 2, it was a filler movie. They went from Iron Man, Incredible Hulk, to make Iron Man 2. And then they started Captain America, then Thor, and then the Avengers. And then they made Thor 2, and then they made Winter Soldier. So, I mean, they really just try to crank out a second Iron Man to get some money so they could produce an Avengers, probably. I still love the MCU, but I just think it was just a really poorly timed sequel.
All right, well, that's all the time we have for. I will agree that The Incredible Hulk is the kind of the MCU movie everyone chose to forget about, especially at the end where they reveal, at the very end of that movie, where Bruce Banner actually has control of his powers at the very end of that film.
Yeah.
And they totally lose track of that. And then the Iron Man 2 production was completely rushed, which is part of the reason why it was pretty bad. So,
yeah.
All right, well, I have to choose a winner, and this is probably the hardest one I've had to choose all semester. So good job on you guys. Oh, man.
I think I know who I think should win.
So, here we go.
Here we go.
For real.
Now finally here.
All right, the problem I have with The Incredible Hulk is, even though it's the movie everyone forgot about, it's still kind of a good movie once you get through it. And they reestablish it recently when they reintroduced General Ross in the Civil War.
Who's played by the same guy.
Which is played by the same guy. So they kind
of
managed.
Two out of three.
They did manage to bring it back in.
Two out of three Cinema Wars contestants like that film.
All right, continuing. The thing is, I actually kind of agree that the Thor the Dark World was kind of better than the first one.
What?
And like Matt said, it still has greater context within the MCU, which makes it work.
That's fair.
So all that said, I'm going to have to give it to Iron Man 2.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right.
All right, it is time for the Cinema War bonus round here. So we're going to go in a reverse order.
For the record, you took mine first. So like, I don't feel like I super lost. Yeah.
That was my Thor 2 was my second choice.
Yeah.
All right. So
I wrote down backups.
The bonus question is worst villain in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Everyone knows the villain problem that's been plaguing the cinematic universe for the last few years here. So we're going to talk about that very briefly. You get a minute to tell me why you chose what you picked, roughly a minute, and then we'll pick a winner for that. So we are going to start with Andy, worst villain.
I picked Ronan from Guardians of the Galaxy.
What?
I know why.
What?
I know why you picked him, but I still.
All right, real quick, why did you pick him?
Well, I mean, to be honest, he was kind of very underdeveloped. He's very cliche, didn't really do anything much, you know? He wasn't very interesting like Loki from Avengers or anything. So the fact that, you know, the fact that the Guardians of the Galaxy just needed a person to fight that was under the control of Thanos. You know, he just didn't seem to stand out to me in any way, and I think that he could have been done a lot better or written a lot better.
Okay.
And
that's all you get. Okay. Sorry. We are on the time schedule here. Okay, Brad.
All right, I'm going to make a controversial choice. I'm going to say Thanos.
Oh, boom.
Okay.
From which movie?
For all of them.
From all of them.
He has done jack the entire Marvel Cinematic Universe. He picked up the gauntlet and didn't even do anything with it. They had 5 more seconds that could have done something, and he did jack.
It's the build-up. It's the build-up, my friend.
Yeah, that's for Infinity Wars.
In Guardians of the Galaxy, we see a little bit of him, and he's not intimidating. He's a little bit scary as a father figure, but he's scary the same way my dad is. He's not going to take over the universe. He's not going to fight Captain America. But yeah, you know, he's got some authority.
I mean, not yet.
He's
it's
not
coming.
Scary. All right. He's not well done, and the people who haven't read the comics know nothing about him, and his biggest weakness is that he actively, subconsciously wants to fail. If you're looking at it from a comics perspective, that's his biggest weakness, and that is the least terrifying trait
in a villain.
It's the
most interesting.
Right. It's definitely interesting, but it's not scary. It doesn't make for a good villain.
All right, Brad, thank you. Matt,
excited.
What are
I'm
you
sorry.
Picking?
I don't want to say it because I know I'm going to get so much.
Well, this isn't a debate. This is just a statement.
Loki, completely.
No, for
what?
Sure.
No, yes.
What? For sure.
No, for real.
What?
Okay.
Let's hear him out.
He is so, I just like comparing him to General Zod just because of the whole argument behind, you know, New York and Metropolis, all the destruction and everything. With that said, you can compare the two main figureheads behind those attacks. You have General Zod, who is completely aggressive and very intimidating. You have Superman, who's going after him. His first fight. The entire time because of how menacing he sounds, he looks, the way he holds himself. Then you go over to Loki, who Tom Hiddleston, he's a great actor. He's developed so much. I'll give him that. Mm-hmm. I'm mainly comparing this to the first Avengers. He just did not really execute anything. He was very weak. He sounded weak. He just didn't do anything besides hold his staff and shoot lasers a bit. He didn't. You never saw him really doing a hand-to-hand combat. I understand that he did a lot of mind games and stuff, which I do like. This is a hard pick for me. I like Loki. I think he's integral to. He's very important for the MCU right now. He always will be, but I just don't think he's really. He hasn't really impressed me much.
All right. Well, all those things said. I'm going to say Brad gave a pretty compelling argument, so he gets the bonus.
That's right,
point.
Thanos.
Come at me.
Get at me. Well, I'm sorry, right. You can't do anything till the end of the movie?
Yeah, for
real. Well, we are out of time here on CineWars. We'll be back next week, Monday nights at 10, right here on WMCO 90.7.
Woo!
Next time on Cinema Wars, what is the best animated movie? The views and opinions expressed on Cinema Wars are not associated with Muskingum University, Orbit Media, WMCO, Orbit TV, and the Black and Magenta. The war is far from over. Tune in next week at 10 in the evening here on WMCO 90.7 for the next round of Cinema Wars.